If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles or the written record, the written scriptures of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I hope by the time we finish this time together, friends, that each of us has that scripture memorized. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Just speak the word. In doing so, we're letting God speak for himself, bringing no attention to ourselves, but all glory and honor to the one, the only one to whom it is due. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak. If you speak of God and about God or on the subject of spiritual things or religion, let it be the oracles of God. And the only way that's going to take place is as you and I study to show ourselves approved unto God, we're going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and speak the word of God and navigate the word of God. That's very important. The Bible tells us, Luke 4:17, that Jesus, when he was on earth in his ministry, found the place that it was written. Jesus opened up to a specific prophetic passage of himself. Obviously, Jesus knew how to navigate the word of God. And you know, somewhat we don't have any excuse, because he took out a scroll, Luke chapter 4, and he had to roll it to the exact place that he wanted to read from, out of Isaiah, I believe, chapter 61. So Jesus found the place where it was written, Luke 4:17. Jesus knew how to navigate the word of God. Do you know how to navigate the word of God? They didn't have chapter divisions in those days. They had the scriptures written on scrolls. We've got chapter divisions. You know, personally, I love to use index cards to write down scripture to capture when I'm reading the Bible every morning without fail. I want to capture, I want to harvest some divine truth that I can take with me and be able to give it out in the future. There's no substitute for reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and memorizing the Word of God. Let me say this, lots of young godly men that we are in fellowship with, there's no better thing, there's not one better thing other than prayer would be paramount to this truth, that you can do to prepare for ministry, doing more and more fruitful ministry, than to memorize God's word. You know, recently I was doing some caregiving with a dear family friend, and he likes to watch this certain pastor on TV, and I about fell out of my chair. This guy continually speaks and goes through scripture. Now, you and I both know that that is very rare today. Today we have an epidemic of people in ministry, doing ministry, who've never been personally grounded in the Word of God. And that's very obvious when we listen to them for a little bit. In many cases, they have followed the convoluted teaching of others, of mere men. Sad to say, on social media, we see arrogant novices. They don't realize it, but they are spreading a poisonous mixture, a diatribe of half-truths and heresies. Okay, and the Bible speaks in 1 Timothy 3:6 that novices aren't to be ordained into ministry, lest they fall into the condemnation of the devil. Okay, they're not seasoned enough, they're not sound enough in the Word of God and in the rigors of walking with Christ and all that comes with it, including afflictions and persecutions and seasons of trials and God breaking us further and further, more and more. Amen. And so we need to be aware that we're not one of them, and to begin getting soundly grounded in God's word for ourselves. Begin immediately, that is, studying the word of God for ourselves, believing nothing until your own eyes get fixed upon the word of God, communicating those divine truths to you. Amen. The Bereans did not believe Paul at his word, not even Paul. Get it? Stop and meditate on that. If you're going to take any man that ever walked the earth beside Jesus at his word, it would be Paul. But they did not take him at his word. And the Bible calls them, God called them more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things Paul was preaching were true. Acts 17:10 and 11. So getting soundly grounded in God's word for ourselves is imperative. Begin immediately studying God's word for yourself as the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do, and as God is telling you and I to do, study to show yourself, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, on this subject, I've been confronting a lot of these dispensational novices who are very arrogant, as are all cultists. And yes, I call the dispensational movement a cult organization and system. And they've made up all these charts about the end times. There's a guy named Robert Breaker on the, I guess he's everywhere, but he's on YouTube. He's got a billion videos. Total deceiver, peddling this dispensational demonic system of heresies. If you look up dispensational on the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you'll find at least one expose on this whole system. Anyway, these people, most of them younger, are taken with their, you know, with, one of the things they have going for them, like any cult, is that they're very organized, okay? And they sound like they're convinced that what they believe, and they are, but it's not by the Holy Spirit, it's by demons. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. They've been turned over to strong delusion so that they will believe that lie. And so, and ultimately, they're going to be damned because they're lying and misleading many. And a lot of these young people that have been misled by them, as it says in, I think, 1 Timothy 1, neither knowing what they say nor whereof they affirm. And they keep saying and misusing this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to rightly divide the word of truth. And I'm like, okay, so nobody could rightly divide the word of truth until this absolute diabolical fraud named Darby in the 1800s came along? Explain that to me. So they arrogantly believe that they can't be corrected and that they've rightly divided the word of truth. All they're doing is following their cult handlers. They don't realize that they're prey, P-R-E-Y, 2 Timothy 3:7, deceiving and being deceived. That's what we see going on now. So this is exactly what Paul told Timothy. You study to show yourself self-approved unto God. And let me say this to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that God is telling you, instructing you to study to show yourself approved unto God, not man, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way you're going to rightly divide the word of truth is study the word of truth and take no man's word, take God's word. So the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Amos about the days we now live in. We're talking about if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. And the only way you're going to speak as of the oracles of God is that you're going to learn them and you're going to get them in you. You're going to learn them so you can teach them. Every believer that is walking with Jesus desires to share the word of God with others. It's the greatest treasure we've ever found. And he's actually found us. And his word is a treasure chest of golden platinum nuggets of truth concerning all things that pertain unto life and godliness. They are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Word of God, which were given by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to study that chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's going to blow your mind and change your life. So Amos said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. God is going to send a famine in the land. And what kind of famine is that? Not a famine of bread, he continues, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, as I listened to this pastor that my friend Bill listens to, I about fell out of my chair, like I said earlier, because the guy just went from scripture to scripture to scripture. Incredible. He also was a very humble man. And he wasn't trying to promote himself. He wasn't trying to brand himself, which is quite common, unfortunately, these days. You know, ministry has become a performance where people are performing. They're seeking to brand themselves, constantly creating endless media productions of different sorts to increase their followers, their personal popularity. It's a fleshly show, though. It's a stage of carnality, which Paul speaks about in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. When he says that their God is their belly, Their God is their belly. This is interesting. He says, for first of all, verse 17, Philippians 3, the last part of Philippians 3, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Okay, and earlier in the chapter, Paul said he counted all things dung, all of his religious teaching, Jewish teaching, he counted it dung for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus. Amen. This is all about knowing Jesus and making him known. Okay, those who know Jesus and truly walk with him are making him known, not themselves. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them, which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many, in other words, Paul denounced all these things of religion and all these things of his own righteousness, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 10, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So he says here, follow us as the example, for many walk, of whom, notice many. Remember Jesus said, many false prophets will go out among you and will deceive many. When the Bible speaks of false prophets, it never speaks of them as being few. It speaks of them as being epidemic or many. And that's where we find ourselves today. Isaiah 9:16, the leaders, who? The leaders of this people cause them to err or go in error, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And that's what we see. A lot of people following these half-truth wolves and these systems that they have organized to deceive and to ultimately damn the souls of many who swear they're saved. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice it says they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. When is the last time you heard a preacher, a pastor of any type, anywhere, that is demanding, actually preaching to demand the mandate of God that you die to yourself? It's not their mandate. It's a divine mandate. Jesus said, if you're going to follow him, you must deny, not esteem, not brand, not feature, not celebrate yourself, but deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. That is, live the crucified life so that Christ's resurrection, grace, and power and glory are living through you, and God is doing mighty works in and through your life. Got to go down for God to raise you up. There can be no resurrection in the divine economy unless there's a person who is submitting to the death and burial of the self-will, the self-life, and self completely. Amen. That's how the Christian life works. That's the only way it works. You will never find freedom over sin and victory, period. Doesn't matter who you are, what you have, or what you think you have or claim to have. You will never walk in the holiness God has ordained you to walk in, especially not in any momentous way with a momentum of power from heaven, until you begin to learn the cross, that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3, verse 3. So he's talking about those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, verse 19, Philippians 3, whose end is destruction. They're going to hell. See, the way of God is the way of the cross, and anybody not walking the way of the cross, as Jesus mandated and put at the heart and the center of the gospel, is not following Jesus. Luke 9:23-24. That was like a bomb going off right there. Because you look around yourself and you have heard either very, very few people in your whole Christian walk talk about the cross, the crucified life, or you have heard nobody talk about it. And let me warn you about this. It's going to get addicting, because once you taste and see that the Lord is good, that is doing things his way and what it brings forth, you're going to get addicted in a good way. Amen. There's nothing wrong with addiction. It's what are we addicted to? Romans chapter 6, verse 16 comes to mind. Know ye not, Paul writes, that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. See, they encamp around the God of self and the carnal appetites of the self life. They serve the self. They don't serve the Savior. There's no cross in their life. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. So the enemies of the crucified life Christ taught, and whose glory is in their shame. In other words, their glory in those things that they should be ashamed of. Who mind earthly things. Meditate on that. They mind earthly things. They want to build a bigger building. They want to get a bigger car. They want to get a bigger house. They want to get a bigger pay. paying job. It's all about the earthly. When the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, where Christ sitteth to the right hand of the Father. Amen. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, that is those that are living the crucified life, then shall ye also appear with him. Colossians 3:1-4. The cross is the way that God's economy works. It's the only way to walk with Jesus. And dare I say that only those that are obeying Jesus, that means they love and they trust him, therefore they obey him. Their obedience and the fruit does not save them, but real obedience, real saving faith, it bears itself out throughout the New Testament, is always going to be obedient to Jesus. We are his workmanship. That is, those who are saved by grace through faith. Now, you're going to get a lot of people get real mad at that because they don't want anything to do with dying to self. Why? Their God is their belly, and they glory in what they ought to be ashamed of, their own rebellion, and they mind earthly things. They're all about this life. They're all about getting the next trinket, experiencing the next comfort. They're not walking with Jesus according to his prescription, which is the crucified life. We've got some books on that, by the way, to help you learn that cross. By the way, we make very little on the books, in case you're wondering. And in fact, we don't really make anything when you look at how many we send out for free to help fuel the ministry of others all over the country and sometimes parts of the world, and also drop them into prisons to inmates. We get constant supply of people giving us names and addresses. You're welcome to send them to us. We're just going to trust God by faith to supply the ministry to be able to fund those things. We have to buy each book. Anyway, we drop ship the books straight on into prisoners with their name on it. And sometimes we go and we find names on jail rosters and just pray, God, show us who to send them to, men and women that are incarcerated. It's a captive audience. Many of you have done prison ministry. I certainly have. And you'll never find a better captive audience that has only one place to look, and that's upward. Amen. They are desperate. They are hurting, not because of the crime they committed so much, although that's part of it, and that's what put them there. It's this desperate place that their life is incapacitated. They're behind jail walls with a bunch of people that aren't the most savory people, and they didn't choose to be roommates with, if you know what I mean. I can go into more detail, but you know what I mean. And they have one place to look, and they will read, voraciously read. Did I say that right? I get that word mixed up with another one. They will read everything 24/7. They have time on their hands, and they want to keep occupied. And it's up to us, I believe, as a body of Christ. We are laborers together, you and I, with God. And we are to put in front of them books that are full of Holy Scripture, Christ-centered Scripture, rich books full of the Word of God. And that's a blessing. We've seen and had many letters coming in from people that have been touched and saved and are being blessed by the Word of God through these books. Okay, so these people, we're talking about these false teachers, are known in that they mind earthly things. You know, it's always another building program. You ever know that with some of these enterprising wolves that many call pastors and submit to and give fund and bid Godspeed and are actually helping the enemies of God, swearing that these men are the anointed of God? No, they're not the anointed of God. You're deceived. You're gullible. You're not biblically literate. You're not in the Word, and you're not rightly dividing the Word. Otherwise, you would see them for who they are. Then Paul says, our conversation is in heaven. Amen. All of those that walk with Christ, born again, walking with Christ presently, their affections are set on things above, on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his soon return from heaven. What is it? Hebrews 12:1-2. They're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not only the author, but the finisher. And you got to abide in Christ to the end in order to be with him. That's what Jesus taught. You got to endure to the end to be saved. For our conversation, our way of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. How many people are excited about heaven, are excited about seeing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ return for his bride? And notice, with all the things that are going on around us now, where there's never been a day when it's more applicable. The words of Jesus found in Luke 21:28, which says, Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. If you're listening to this message, my friend, I want to encourage you to know that there's never been a time in your life when it's more imperative, more pertinent, more essential for you to fast, to pray, and to get on your face before a holy God in repentance Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. How many people want the rain of Christ's righteousness coming upon you? That's the refreshing that comes in the presence of a Lord when there is repentance. Remember the two R words, one comes before the other. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repentance precedes refreshing. That's why you got to a lot of people who have a mere form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They deny the authority of Christ to reign in their life through the cross life, and they never are refreshed. I've been there. Many of you have also. Refreshing doesn't come from being a good church member. In fact, some of you need to leave. You need to get out. Okay, you need to come out from among them. Out from away from the modern lukewarm church, which is going to damn your soul if you don't. And you need to seek the Lord in repentance. And when you repent, you are going to be refreshed. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Okay, verse 21, as we finish Philippians 3, who shall change, Jesus shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay, we're talking about being able to articulate, literally to speak the oracles of God. That's when ministry happens in the power of the Spirit, when the Word of God is spoken into the hearts of people and God is working through you. And the greatest way he can work through you is for you to be armed and dangerous with the Word of God and full of the Holy Spirit. Again, we have so many people, an epidemic of people that are pretending to do ministry that is so weak, that is so lame. In fact, recently we've been seeing this thing go around that, in fact, it's numerous memes. People just keep repeating this garbage. It says something like, make sure you say a prayer before you go to bed at night. It's like, that's your life in Christ, is that God gets the last few seconds when you're the most tired, and that's all you're doing is saying a little whispered prayer. That's ridiculous. That's less than lame. That's way less than lukewarm, which is all it takes to be spewed, to be rejected out of the mouth, away from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. That is absolutely pitiful. And that's just become the norm. That's their Christianity. You fall asleep and say some little prayer to God on the way out. You know, that's clearly where Jesus Christ is less than a second class citizen, an afterthought. This is the Lamb of God who gave you life, who made you and gives you every breath that you now breathe that sustains your life. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. So watching and praying is something Jesus continually taught concerning his return. There will be those who are not worthy to escape the evil that is going to come to pass on this earth and eternally because they refuse to watch and pray. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. Now concerning, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. John Wesley, the beloved, wrote this. He says, if any man speak, let him in his whole conversation, public and private, speak as of the oracles of God. Let all his words be according to this pattern, both as to matter and manner. Matter and manner, more especially in public. By this mark, we may always know who are, so far, the true or false prophets. The oracles of God teach that men should repent, believe, and obey God. He that treats of faith and leaves out repentance, or does not enjoin practical holiness to believers, does not speak as of the oracles of God. He does not preach Christ. Let him think as highly of himself as he will. Unquote, John Wesley. Of this passage where Peter the Apostle said, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, Adam Clark wrote this, commentator Adam Clark, in order to explain or enforce God's word and edify his neighbor, let him do it as those did to whom the living oracles were committed. They spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. We should speak as according to the oracles already delivered, grounding all their exhortations and doctrines on some portion of that revelation already given. In other words, the Word, the Holy Scriptures of God. He finishes by saying this: "This command is sent to every man upon earth in holy orders." Any man that dares do ministry, in other words. Then he finishes with this: "Their teaching should be what the oracles of God, the Holy Scriptures, teach and authenticate." Amen. Adam Clark. All right, the Scriptures also tell us in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see if I can find this. Okay, Titus, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul told Titus, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And the only way we're going to be able to do that, friends, as we said earlier, is we're going to have to digest and be blessed to be fed by these words that are full of divine life ourselves. We not only read the Word of God every day and feast upon the bounty of God's revelation and His precepts, and that's what feeds you, nourishes your own spirit, and builds you up in Christ. In fact, the Scripture speaks of being nourished up in the words of eternal life. 1 Timothy 4:6. I love that. Nourished up in the words of eternal life. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things," Paul told Timothy, right after he had spoke about the great apostasy and the falling away and the departing from the faith. He says, "If thou, Timothy, put the brethren in light of apostasy in remembrance of these things," you minister the word, you speak the oracles of God to them. Jesus told Peter, and he tells us, "Feed my sheep." Okay, so if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, notice in remembrance, we have to continue. I mean, how many times do you eat physical food every day? And sometimes it's the same thing that you ate yesterday or the week before. It's always good. It always nutrifies and nourishes your body. Same thing with the Word of God. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Notice what a good minister of Jesus Christ does. He feeds people God's Word, Christ's Word, not his own. "Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." See, it's a place to attain to through nourishing your own spirit and also being a good minister of Jesus Christ by bringing into remembrance and nourishing others with God's Word. And here's how that happens. Proverbs chapter 21, beginning at verse 17, Proverbs 22, and it's going to begin in verse 17. "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." So God's saying to bow down your ears, give ear, attend to my words, Proverbs 4 speaks of. So this speaks of the energy and the posture we should exert toward the Word of God. It's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. In fact, the very thoughts of his heart, quote unquote, are revealed in his written counsel, Psalm 33:11. So notice, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." That's the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. "For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee." Now, how are you going to keep the Word in you other than keeping it flowing through your eye gates into your mind, your heart, your body every day? Hallelujah. If I'm not in the Word, the Word is not getting into me. When I get into the Word is getting into me. And that has to be something you decide to do. Only you can do it daily. Jesus said, "Our walk with Him is daily. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips." In other words, if you put them in you, that is the oracles of God. You're going to be able to speak as of the oracles of God and be able to share the truth of God, not your truth, His truth, with others and give testimony of His saving grace and how His blood has washed you clean. Amen. We're overcoming by the blood of a lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we're loving not our lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. So it is a pleasant thing. It's so pleasant. It's such a blessing. "Great peace have they that love thy law, thy word, and nothing shall offend them." Psalm 119:165. For it is a pleasant thing. How many people are experiencing the blessed pleasantness that comes, the peace, the deep peace, great peace, according to Psalm 119:165, that comes with reading and ingesting and feeding your spirit the Word of God every day? For it is a pleasant thing. Remember, Jesus is either first love, or you have a mere form of godliness. He's a second-class citizen. He's a mere hobby to you. If you're not serving Him daily, you don't know Him, and you have backslidden. That is, if you were saved. And Jesus said, you got to endure to the end. You got to abide, which means remain and continue in Him, or you're going to be cast into the fire. That could only mean one thing that you're going to hell. And it's going to be worse with you than if you'd never known him and the way of salvation. John 15, verse 6, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. So he says here, as we come for a close here, Proverbs 22, 17 through 21, for it is a pleasant thing, in verse 18, if thou keep them within thee, you got to keep them within you. You don't read the word of God like you're snacking every once in a while. You devour it diligently, daily. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. You see, you'll be able to speak the word of God when you're in the word of God, only when you're in it. And it'll have an anointing from God on it because you're in a oneness relationship with him that Jesus prayed you'd be in. John 17, verse 19 here, Proverbs 22, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Those that are in the word of God are the ones you're going to find that are living by faith. They're going to be trusting the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Amen. How about that deep assurance that comes from loving and devouring the truth? Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jeremiah 15:16 and Psalm 119:165. That I might make thee know the certainty, removal of all doubt, of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Amen. You're going to be able to speak the word of God when you make the word of God first place in your life. We're talking about, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, that's our central verse. How shall a man be prepared to speak the oracles of God other than getting those precepts, those divine truths into his own heart and mind by diligently studying God's word? Well, he's not. That's the only way to do it. And let's go ahead and look at Ezekiel chapter 3, where the commission of Ezekiel was to eat the word of God. That was the role that we see here. He says, verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels, your inner man, with this roll. That is the roll, the scroll of the word of God. See, scroll comes from perhaps SC, scripture, and roll. The scriptures rolled up, and that's how they were formatted. They were scrolls. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, Ezekiel responded, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Anyone who's tasted the word of God and is consistently in it daily can say with the psalmist, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's eating the word of God, and it's like honey for sweetness. And then he tells him, son of man, verse 4, go, get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Speak with my words unto them. Speak with my words unto them. See, speaking our own words, trying to explain God to men instead of just speaking the word is futility. And also, later on in chapter 33, the Lord told this same servant, prophet Ezekiel, to warn them from me. So part of what you're going to do is you're going to warn others. You're going to preach, warn, teach. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. 33% of each, perhaps, is the apostolic model. PWT, preach, warn, and teach. Not only preach and teach, but warn others. There are so many warnings in God's word. Notice 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you are a disciple of Christ, your goal should be to have scripture memorized, know where it is, to read it with others in order to be equipped to give an answer to every single person who you meet who has questions, saved or unsaved, or that God quickens you to help and to feed his word. Every answer to man's questions and problems are given to us in the scriptures. As we mentioned earlier, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the treasure chest of God's beautiful word. Are you learning them for your own life and to help others? If Christ is truly sanctified or set apart as supreme, ultimate priority and authority in our lives, in our hearts, that is, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15 that we just read, we are diligently desiring, studying, learning, memorizing, and communicating His blessed word, that which is the Holy Scriptures, the exceeding great and precious promises of His word. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, let thine heart retain my words. Proverbs 4:4. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly. In all wisdom, Colossians 3:16. Amen. Okay, friends, so we finish here and we pray that God would bless us, give us a photographic memory and a desire and a great hunger for His word. But we don't wait for the hunger. We simply obey Him because we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, we give them the good word of God. We speak as of the oracles of God. Father, we thank you for it. We ask for the circumcising work of your word and spirit, even the double-edged sword of your word, to carve out and to separate the carnality, the fat in our hearts, Lord. Circumcise our hearts, O God. We ask you for a heart of flesh. Take away the stony places that have been hardened through sin and disobedience. In the name of Jesus, Father, we repent of all rebellion, God, all rebellion, all resistance in any way that we've not been childlike and Christ-like, Lord, receiving your kingdom in obedience as a little child who is humble and teachable and innocent, and make us that way. Cause us to be that way, Lord. Let us be poor in spirit and pure in heart and filled, Lord, as we hunger and thirst after thy righteousness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.